From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
You are tuned in to the Mighty 90 Open Journal KPFT Houston. Welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your support. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Loretta Kovacic is known for her virtuoso performances from Mucky Duck to Carnegie Hall. She calls herself a three-for-one special, a pianist, singer-songwriter, and a storyteller. She started out as a classical pianist in her native country of Croatia. After immigrating to Texas and graduating with a doctorate in music from Rice University, she worked as a performer and a teacher, later adding the Alchemist Piano Theater Children's Theater. She has created 7 albums, and her Brother Tadpole Classics was nominated for a Grammy in 2011. This pandemic found her recently creating her first album based on her original one-act tragic play, The House of Gilda House. Set in 2019 in Houston's North Side immigrant neighborhood, the story revisits Federico Garcia Lorca's classic play, La Casa del Bernardo Alba, with a new contemporary twist. She has a flair for transformative work and is sometimes found performing in a style she likes to call Texas Lav. An HIZ teacher at Burbank Middle School and a friend of KPFT, Loretta Kovacic, welcome to this edition of Open Journal.
Yay. Glad to have you.
Glad to have you on board, Loretta. So what exactly is Texas Slav, just to get us started?
Okay, so Texas Slav, not to be confused with the Texas slut or Texas slob, it is indeed a Slav, S-L-A-V. Slav is just a person that comes from a Slavic nation. So that includes my homeland, Croatia, but it also includes many others, such as Poland, Czech, Bosnia, Bulgaria, and all these other Slavs who are all have similar accents like me. So that's a Slav. I could keep going about that because Slav also means something like culturally as well, not just, yeah.
Well, how did a Slav from Croatia come to be in Houston, Texas?
Well, Slav from Croatia, like the other Slavs that live in Texas, such as Czech, lots of Czech communities and the orchestras and players in little towns of Fayetteville, and but I didn't know about it. I discovered all the Slav culture in Texas later, after I came to Houston. But I came to Houston to actually do my degree at Rice University, and then I decided to stay.
How wonderful! You've traveled both in Houston and have been to New York performing at Carnegie Hall. What has that experience been throughout the United States and just the dynamic and the different audiences?
I mean, I just recently performed here from the same place from where I'm talking to you, my little studio, it's a breezeway of my house. But I put a lot of curtains and really fancy stuff in there, so it looks really nice.
It looks great on the radio.
I really don't care where I'm performing. It could be anywhere, as long as there's somebody willing to listen. I really love it. So whatever it is. So Carnegie Hall, unfortunately, was a not so good experience for me because I suffered from tendonitis on my hand, and I had to perform with tendonitis, and it was the most painful experience of my life. But I did that twice, and then after that, I had to kind of quit performing classical piano because my hand just couldn't take it. And that's how the good thing happened. I became a singer-songwriter, and here I am. So it's all good in the end.
Yes, you keep evolving.
Yeah, I keep learning new things. And this new album that I have, The House of Gilda Haas, is really set in the community where I work, and I work as a teacher in Northside. So it's very set in that immigrant community, and it's a story about an immigrant family. Grandfather is from Mexico, and grandmother is from Croatia, which is kind of autobiographical, of course. And then, you know, they're raising two grandkids, and they're struggling, you know, just like, you know, people struggle when they have to raise grandkids, and this happens a lot, mm-hmm. in not just in Northside, but anyway. And so it's kind of a tragic story, but like not everything in my play is tragic. I don't like just tragedy. I really enjoy good comedy. So, you know, not every song is sad and depressed.
I think people are looking for ways to experience the art and culture always, but even more so during the pandemic, we're looking for ways to share our kindred stories. What inspired you to really share it at this moment?
Well, I mean, I started writing this album and these songs. I started doing it last summer, and it's really related to some events in my family, which I'm not going to go in detail about. But when I returned, I started writing the first song called Promaya. Promaya is about it's about the situation in a house, like I said, where the two grandparents are raising two grandkids and they're struggling. And one of the grandkids actually has mental illness. And, you know, how to deal with mental illness, and how does society deal with that? You know, that's basically the main part of this story. But yeah, I was really affected by what was going on in my family emotionally, you know, and that's how it all started. But then when I started kind of to have a second look at it and be at a distance from it, I realized I could connect with many other people who had very similar situations. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so also at the place where I work with many of my students. So, mm-hmm. So this piece kind of became like this whole album and the script became kind of, you know, a healing process for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say it's not good for artists to do that, but, you know, they should actually go visit a psychologist instead. Right. But for me, it was just a lot more fun doing it this way.
Yeah. So what was it about Lorca's play, La Casa de Bernarda Alba, yeah. that drew you to want to adapt it and create this play? You've created The House of Gilda Haas.
The House of Gilda Haas is related to Lorca's play because I love Lorca, first of all. And in my school where I work, I'm a theater teacher also. And we do, you know, every year like a tragedy. And this last year we did Lorca's play La Casa de Bernarda Alba, and I was really kind of inspired by that play as well while I was going through my own emotions. So the play House of Bernarda Alba is about a very kind of dominant mother who is raising five daughters, and the play starts with the death of her husband. So it's kind of, you know, like somber in the beginning, and then it explores these relationships between the, you know, very dominant matriarch and all the daughters. So that's how my play starts too. It starts with the death of the mother of the children. So I took some components from that play and I adopted it. I'm inspired by it, definitely.
Yes. So how did you create this world and put it together and make this fusion of a play and then add on to it or augment it into a musical as well?
My gosh, I've been doing this for a long time. This is my seventh album. So like the albums before the Space Wigs and my Brother Tadpole album were all also plays and little musicals for children. This is very similar to that, but the difference that this is a tragedy. It's a little more serious. But I don't know. I mean, there's always a story in my head that goes on with that I'm doing when I'm doing music. There's always a story. So that story is always behind me in the background in my brain. So the music is related to all the whole story. So it goes hand in hand for me.
So as you look to share during the pandemic, both your art and your narrative and story, have you had to rethink how you would use technology and how you would engage your audiences?
Well, yeah, I am kind of a dinosaur, but you know, as a teacher, I have to get with it. So yeah, I have learned quite a bit in this process. Like, I was doing Live at 5 every Sunday on Facebook. And then I joined Instagram. The world of Instagram is a new thing for me, but I'm trying. So I was trying to connect with audiences more, and I enjoyed really performing live from my studio here. So I learned little things like you know, I got this lamp behind me, and the phone is sitting on it. You know, I started with like just the phone on a book, you know, and it was falling down during the performance, and now it's just like it almost works almost perfectly, not quite, but you know, just little things I've learned.
It's the interesting piece, because as you describe the joys of technology, they have their moments, right? Sometimes
yes.
It's great, other times it's a
they
full
do
challenge.
Yeah, they have their shaky breaky heart, the technology. Yeah.
You are tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, the Mighty 90, listener-sponsored community radio. Thanks for tuning in and joining us. We're visiting with local musician and playwright and teacher Loretta Kovacic, the creator of Alchemist Piano Theater. And Loretta, I wanted to ask you, are there any plans to put the House of Gildahas out there for people to experience?
I would love to see it done. And, you know, of course, I will try to do it myself because I'm a director as well. But I would love to see somebody else put it up. And that's just the reason why I'm here right now. It'd be really cool to have another director.
You never know what things can happen. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, it would be amazing to see that work really, you know, come alive, especially with another artist who would really flex it and change it and develop it, and it'd be great.
So the
album has like songs, about 7 songs, but it also have karaoke versions of those songs. Mm-hmm. So it's an easy way to put those songs, you know, just karaoke and you're done.
You are not at a loss of innovative ideas. That is a very wonderful way to add life to the music and sort of allow other people to engage.
Exactly.
How wonderful. I think one of the things we've noticed from how we've had to reposition the Open Journal is that technology has allowed you to collaborate with people who you might not have been able to reach before. Has that been something that you found as well, that you can reach out and work in new ways with new people, people you've always wanted?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, technology and also me being the older, you know, like I'm not that young, just going into the social media more for younger people. For example, this is one of the things I really would like to do more, is collaborate with other artists. And so, you know, because this album that it also has elements of rap, because that's what, you know, I've been exposed to and I'm starting to appreciate. And so just like yesterday or 2 days ago on Instagram, a young rapper, you know, from Houston contacted me and wanted to do something together. So I'm really excited what's going to come out of it. But yeah, it's, you know, I feel like there's something changing and people are more open to this.
That says a lot about your openness that he would have reached out.
Yeah.
So Loretta, I was wondering, who were some of the musical influences that impacted you growing up as a young Croatian?
So, yeah, when I was a little kid, I grew up eating svečan knedle. That's the Croatian dish. But I grew up listening mostly to, you know, I was very exposed to klapa music, which is folk music from Croatia. And it's a cappella singing of men who are sailors, and they're just kind of holding each other while they're like trying to hold up because they're kind of drinking wine, and they're barely holding up, but they're singing in 4 voices. So, and my grandma had a wine cellar, like we call it konoba, and that was her wine cellar, and there were people coming in, and typically in those wine cellars on konobas, these folk musicians would get together and sing while they're drinking wine. And so I heard that all the time, you know, because I love to hang out with my grandma listening to it. And so it's basically like barbershop quartet here, but it's Croatian style, you know. There were and so, you know, I just like anybody else, like I was a teenager in high school and I loved Pink Floyd and Queen, Freddie Mercury. So, and then also classical music, because I was studying classical piano. And so I loved Bach. I loved, you know, Prokofiev. And, you know, I recorded some of those pieces as well later on. Also, I like classic jazz, you know, like Ella Fitzgerald, of course. But Billie Holiday was my number one. So all that stuff, American music. And then when you go to, like, to country stuff, I really liked Loretta Lynn because she was fun. It's her song The Pill. And then I loved Ernest Tubb, you know, that song like Waltz Across Texas, that kind of stuff, because like we were being exposed to like just basic classic stuff from the US, you know. So which is good. I mean, it was good stuff. So
sounds like a lot of wide-ranging interests.
Wide-ranging. And now I'm exposed to rap music. You know, I love Hamilton. You know, Luis Miguel Miranda is like my is like a big hero of mine recently, and I love that work of his, Hamilton. So that also is an inspiration to keep writing and to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, it's like seeing that kind of stuff. He's so talented. So. I can go on. Bob Marley is number one.
Of course he is.
I mean, I can go on and on.
Well, you know, it's wonderful because you've mentioned some wonderful people and you are wonderful to us. And I think our listeners would also like to know more, not just about your album, but your work and the amazing things that you're doing, so that they can follow and be a fan. How can they learn more about you or find more information about what you're doing?
They can go on Facebook, Loretta Kovacic. They can go on Instagram, because I'm trying to connect on Instagram more. It's Loretta Kovacic, if they can spell my name. then they can go on YouTube and find my songs and listen to. I love YouTube. Guess why?
Why?
It's free.
Because it's free.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, but you can go on Spotify, you know, you can go anywhere. You'll find it.
Kovacic is easy. It's just Kovacic. Piece of cake.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
And Loretta is not with two T's, just with one T.
So, Loretta, how many instruments do you play? And do you think that anybody should be able to play at least one instrument?
Yeah, I play lots of instruments, but like the one instrument that I love, and you wouldn't believe it, it costs here I go again with being cheap. I have it in one of my songs. I'm really cheap. It's called Plywood. I talk about that. But I love melodica. Melodica is a beautiful instrument. It costs, the cheapest one, I just looked it up, it costs $14 on Amazon. And you blow into it, and it produces this beautiful sound that can, you know, and you can carry it everywhere. And it comes in beautiful colors of green, red, yellow, blue, whatever, $14. And you can play that instrument. I play the piano, of course, any kind of keyboard. I play the ukulele. I sing. That's an instrument.
It is.
That is true. It's a gifted instrument. Not everyone can do that.
Exactly. That's the best instrument and the cheapest.
So, Loretta, do you have any story you can tell us about this weird instrument called a theremin?
Oh, yeah. Right here next to me is my dedicated theremin player. You know, I call him dedicated because he's the only one when I have to actually perform. He's the only one that shows up.
Yes.
Everybody else is like, how much am I going to make? But he shows up for free again.
Who would that be?
That's Joe Perani, the space flight trainer.
Hi-o!
All right.
Joe Perani plays his own theremin that he made from a kit. And he just makes beautiful sounds, you know. As I play the piano and sing, he just is behind me, like just following me, just like like some kind of magic. It's amazing. Sometimes he comes up with beautiful stuff, like right there.
Sometimes not. But
most times he does a great job. And that's the thing, is like, he's not musically trained or nothing. He gave me the theremin for my birthday. I said, I can't do it. I'm doing all these other instruments. You do it. And then he goes, well, what am I going to do? I can't play it. I'm like, you don't have to play it. You just do some sounds. Make some sounds. That's all. And mm-hmm. so that's what he does. And it's special.
It is.
Loretta promised me that I didn't have to hit any notes, that she'd hit all the notes. I just had to make sounds.
Yeah.
So that's my creed. I just make sounds.
He's a theremin player of sound. He's not a theremin player of just notes.
That's a special category.
Yeah.
And I put the no in notes.
He's out there. He's out there. Watch out for him.
That is great. Oh, this is so wonderful. It's so exciting to see the sort of creative energy and the fusion that you have and the mixture of music and generations and culture. Very much the times that we're living in and what we need for the future. And I think you do a lot with the students, which sort of speaks to that future. If there's anything you'd like to share, sort of talk about what you've done or for the future with our listeners, what would that be?
For the future, I would like, you know, I would like peace and happiness. Peace is already Dwayne's thing. I'm more for the, like, happiness. So something for, you know, to make us happy. For me, I mean, I'd like music, I think. You know, if you start your day with music, maybe that's how you can make your day better. I believe in that.
Well, Loretta, so final question. What do you most miss about the old normal as we're going through this odd new normal of COVID time?
I miss the sweaty smell of my friends.
Okay. Well, Loretta Kovacic, thank you, Dr. Kovacic. We really appreciate you joining us on this edition of Open Journal in Exile. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate you, and I love KPFT. Love you guys.
Well, it is time to wrap this episode of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. Check our archive at kpft.org, and please subscribe to the podcast, KPFTOJ. And thanks to all of you who have donated to keep this commercial-free radio station on the air, and those of you particularly who donated to Open Journal, we appreciate that. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. We are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Open Journal theme music provided by Kevin McLeod. And be here with us for Open Journal next time for more great conversations. As always, thank you for your continued support.
And as always, we like to leave you with a thought of the week. This comes to us from B.B. King, who said, I'm trying to get people to see that we are our brother's keeper. Red, white, black, brown, or yellow, rich or poor, we all have the blues. Take care of each other.